I don't have a single verse I'm going to read from today. In a few moments, I'm going to read from a selection of verses, but the first ones are going to come from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Then we're going to turn over to Ephesians and John in the New Testament and read some verses. I want to talk this morning about why. The title of this morning's sermon is Knowing Your Why. It's a question that we don't, I think, in the church, spend enough time either thinking about or answering or really remembering as we live the Christian life. So on the there's a PowerPoint behind me, and I've got the verses displayed for your convenience. If you'll just advance the slide one, Doug. First, we're going to read from Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Famous verses from Jeremiah. God had a purpose, a direction, a why for Jeremiah's life. Then in Jeremiah 29:11, he says again, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God, from the very beginning, had a purpose and a plan for the prophet Jeremiah. His life had a direction that was imparted to him by God Almighty. And Jeremiah's life, his very pulse and heartbeat throughout his life, was to fulfill what God had set out for him. We say, well, that's all well and good, but what about us? Let's look at the New Testament. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. We are his creation. Have you ever created something? Most of us have. A painting, a drawing, a poem. Some of us somewhere along the line have made something. Sewn a garment, put together a bookshelf. We've done something. And the act of creating instills value automatically. If we do it ourselves, we value it more. And there is a correlation between how much of the creation is ours and how much we value it. Of course, the greatest example of that is children. We, in a sense, create our children. And because they are a part of us, because they come from us, there is automatically a value instilled upon our children. We love them and we want what's best for them because they're our creation. The exact same thing is true between us and God. We are his workmanship. We are his creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has designed for us a purpose to fulfill and giving us the gifts to fulfill that purpose, whatever it may be. Look at John 15:16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So we've been chosen by God and we've been appointed. Again, we've been given a purpose. What is that purpose? To go and bear fruit. Now, one thing that is true is that not all fruit is created equal, right? I remember my grandfather grew strawberries, and sometimes the strawberries would be the most pitiful things you've ever seen in your life. I mean, just small little bite size. I guess you could call them a strawberry, I guess, but they look more like a grape. And I can remember going and picking those out of the strawberry patch and being like, what in the world happened to these poor strawberries? But then other years, same patch, same gardener, but other years, I mean, they look like apples. Huge, juicy strawberries. They're both strawberries, but one is obviously much better than the other. Same is true in my observation of us as Christians. Hopefully we're all bearing fruit, but not all fruit is created equal. What's the difference? Why does one person produce a runt strawberry and one person produce this thing that looks like an apple? What's the difference? Well, there's a lot of things that we could preach a whole series on what the difference is. But the one I want to focus on this morning is the why. The purpose and the passion with which we produce the fruit. Because our passion, our why we're doing what we're doing, is like the sunshine and the rain upon the fruit, upon the crop. If we do whatever we're doing without understanding the why, it's going to struggle. It's going to lack fullness and maturity and flavor. The fruit won't fully grow if we don't understand the passion and apply the passion to it as we're serving. Why do you do what you do? In church? In your job? In your family? Why do you do what you do? Why do you teach children's church? Why do you help lead worship in the worship team? Why do you teach Sunday school or lead a small group or fill in the blank? Why? If the answer is, well, pastor came to me and said nobody else would do it, so I guess I'll do it. Okay, appreciate that. Sometimes we have to do things because they need to be done. I can understand that. But who do you think is going to have the more fruitful ministry? The person who says, well, pastor said I had to do it because no one else would, or the person who really is passionate about it and really says, I lead junior church. Excuse me. I lead junior church because I believe with all my heart those children are the future of the church, and they're going to grow up and they're going to be better than we ever were, and they're going to make the church grow in ways that we never conceived. And I am passionate about making them better Christians so they can grow a better church, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Who do you think has the bigger strawberry? The person with the passion. So that's what I want to focus on this morning. And you see behind me this rudimentary bullseye with the three concentric rings going from what to how to why. Most of us spend all of our time in the what. Someone comes up to you and says, hey, I was driving by the other day. I saw you walking into that church on Ashby Lane. What was it called? Grace Crossing Church. And you say, yeah, that's my church. And of course, you take that opportunity and you begin to tell them about the church. What does that conversation sound like? 9 times out of 10, it goes something like this. Oh, yeah, you should come see us. We have Sunday school for all ages. We have a primetimers group on Tuesday for those that are over 50. We have small groups that we host in people's homes. We have a worship team that leads worship. We have this going on and that going on and this happening and that happening. And we spend all of our time in what? Every now and then we may venture up into how. Oh, yes, you ought to come to our small group. We pick a book that we study together and we work through and we pray and we get to know each other better and we learn and mature together, and we're telling them about the how. But we almost never get to the why. People purchase the why. People buy into the why, not the what or the how. This is true in all areas of life, by the way. Let me give you an example I think that we can all relate to. And that example is Apple. We all own an Apple product, probably. But I would say 50 to 75% of us in here have something that Apple makes, whether it be a phone or a computer or an MP3 player or an iPad, something. We all have something, right, that is made by Apple. Apple has been a hugely successful company, and that's because here's what they don't do. If you watch an Apple commercial or you go and you talk to their salespeople, here's what you won't hear. They don't start with the what. Here's what it would sound like if they did. They'd say, oh yes, we make computers and electronic devices, personal devices. We make iPads and iPods and iPhones, all kinds of great things. We make them so that they're user-friendly, easy to understand, beautiful to look at. You want to buy one? That would be selling you the what and the how. That's not what Apple does. They sell you the why. I want to show you a commercial. Go on to the next slide. I don't know if this first one's going to work. If it doesn't, just go to the next one. Yeah, just go on to the next one. The next one is from 2013. It is an Apple commercial that came out at the holidays. See if you can get it to play, Doug. Oh, good. That one's going to play too, maybe. This is from 1984 Super Bowl commercial. Commercial you've ever seen, but you notice what happened there? You didn't even know what the commercial was for till the end. That's when they launched the Macintosh computer. What was the commercial about? It was about, here at Apple, we are going to challenge the status quo. Instead of being a drone that's told everything to think and everything to believe, we want you to be your own thinker. We want you to live your own life, and we've got this great computer that's going to help you do that. What are they selling? The why? They didn't tell you anything about the Macintosh, other than we have a Macintosh computer, please buy it. But they didn't tell you anything about it. They didn't tell you how fast it was, or how much of this it had, or what capabilities it had. They said, if you buy from us, here's what we're going to help you achieve. We're going to help you challenge the status quo. We're going to help you not be just another drone going through the motions. Now play the next one, Doug, from 2013, the holiday commercial. Much better commercial, in my opinion. Again, they didn't tell you anything about the product. They didn't tell you how big the screen was. They didn't tell you how many songs you could fit on it. They said, at Apple, we believe that if you can connect with people, you can have a better family experience. You can have memories. You can have love. You can have a happy holiday, and we want to help you do that. We believe you can have that here at Apple, and our products are one means of doing it. They're not selling you. No one buys it because it has the bigger screen. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's an element, right? But that's not what they're selling. They're selling you a why. Which are you going to be more likely to be moved by, and which is going to make you want, let's put it into a church context. Are someone going to come to church because, oh, we have Sunday school for all ages? Yeah, everybody has that. You can go to any church and find Sunday school. We offer small groups. A lot of churches have that. We offer this and that, the other thing. You can buy all of these products from all kinds of companies. Apple's not the only people that sell things that can play music or that sells telephones or that sells computers. Why is Apple more successful than all the other competing companies? Because they're not selling a product. They're selling a vision. They're selling a why. They're saying, we want to help you be better and more and connect to your loved ones in a new and exciting way. So you think about it, you look at the target, and you reverse it. Instead of starting with the what, we start with the why. Why do we do what we do? Why are we here this morning? Why did you get up out of bed, get cleaned up, put on your clothes, come into Grace Crossing Church? Why are you here? What is your passion? Why do you do what you do? When you understand that passion, when you understand that why, everything you do in service to God will be better. It'll be better for you because you'll be more fulfilled by it. It'll be better for those that you're ministering to because you'll be doing a better job at it. Because the passion, the why, is what makes it grow. It's what makes the fruit be large and juicy rather than shriveled and dried up. It's the passion that is behind it. And you can apply this to every single aspect of your life. You can apply it to, why am I singing in church? Why am I teaching Sunday school? But you can also apply it to, why do I get up and go to work every day? There's a difference in, I work in the school system, as all of you guys know. There's a vast difference between the teacher who shows up to work every day because they want to get paid, right? And the teacher that shows up to work every day because they believe that what they're doing impacts students. And they believe that what they're doing is going to help those students' lives be better. I work in an alternative setting. Most of the students I have been in trouble. All the students I have at Louisville Day Treatment have been in trouble with the law somewhere along the line. They've done something that got them in trouble, that got them sent to at least temporarily an institution. Robbery, assault, illegal possession of firearms, all of those are things that come to my school every day. If I go in there every day just to collect a paycheck, it's a vastly different experience than if I go in there every day because I believe that at least some of those students, through support and through someone caring about them, that some of those students can put their lives back together and go on and be happy, successful adults. And we see that happen. We see students that go from being in juvenile detention to getting their high school diploma, going out and getting a job, and having a very successful life. It's not every student, but I believe it's possible for that to take place. If I didn't believe it was possible for those students to turn their lives around, if I didn't believe it was possible for them to be successful with the love and support and the care that we try to give them, then I would have a miserable day at work every day because I would just be going through the motions. There's a why behind it. It's not the paycheck. That's a result. That's something we all need. I mean, we all need to get paid. We all want to get paid. None of us are donating our time. But if that's the only reason we're doing what we're doing, you're not going to be as good at it. You're not going to be as productive, and you're going to be miserable doing it. How many of us have a job that's miserable because we don't really want to be doing it? For example, I hate mowing the grass. Don't enjoy it at all. Thankfully, I'm in a brief time period where I have a teenager, so I don't have to mow the grass right now, which is quite nice. I'm enjoying it while it lasts. Sooner or later, he's going to move away, and I'm either, again, going to have to do what I did before, which is pay someone to mow it, which is what I usually did, or haul myself outside and mow the grass. Don't like it at all. Why do I do it? Because it has to be done. But I don't get any enjoyment out of it. I don't want that to characterize the way I do most things in my life. There are some things that are like that. I'm probably never going to enjoy mowing the grass. Maybe if I was more spiritual, I could get down and meditate and pray and appreciate nature and really, but it's never happened so far. And I don't expect it to. I'm not spiritual enough for that. But what a sad statement if everything I do is like that. I drag myself into church because somebody has to teach Sunday school. Somebody has to give the message. I drag myself up into work every day because somebody has to open the doors up. Well, I really got to get paid if I want to keep the lights on, so I drag myself through the motions every day. What a terrible way to experience life, because you're not experiencing life. You're just trying to get through it. That's not what God intended for us. That is not the way God designed us. God's intention is for us to serve passionately with a why behind everything that we do. Why? So I encourage you this morning to meditate on, to think about, why do you do what you do in everything that goes on in your life, from day to day, throughout the week, everything that you do. Why am I doing it? And there might be some things that you ought to stop doing, because you're doing them with no passion at all. Maybe there are some things that you should just say, you know what, I need to step back from this. And the other things in your life, find the passion behind them and be amazed by the transformation that takes place. By the way, this is the way God does as well. Most famous verse, if you go one more slide, Doug. Most famous verse maybe in all the Bible. And that was a terrible font for me to choose probably. You don't even need the thing. John 3:16. All of us probably could quote it from heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life, depending on what version you memorized along the way. What's that verse saying? What's God's why? For God so loved the world. You and I are God's why. He did what He did because He loves us. Because He believes that we, His children, through Jesus Christ, can be something great. He believes that with His love and with His power and with His Spirit, we who serve Him in faith can be fully fulfilled in life. That we can touch lives and change lives and be a part of a great movement in the church. And that we can spend eternity in a wonderful existence in glorifying and worshiping Him, our Creator. He did what He did because God so loved the world. That's His why. Now, the rest of it talks a little bit about the how and the what. Because of His love, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that would sacrifice His life so that we, through faith, could have access to redemption, so that we through Jesus Christ could be restored to a proper relationship with God. But the reason that He did that was because He loves us. Once we understand the why of what we're doing, we will be amazed not only by how much better we can do it, but by how much more we can accomplish. We will have ideas an energy that we never dreamed of having. There is nothing as life-sucking as going through the motions. There is nothing as energy-depleting as doing something because you have to do it and it's a duty, but you really don't want to be involved. You can't hardly drag yourself out of bed in the morning when that's your outlook. But if what you're going to do that day is something you absolutely love and something that you are overcome with passion about, and you say, I can't wait to see what's going to happen with this. I can't wait to get involved. I just can't wait to do that job. Completely different experience if we know the why. I'm going to show you one more video clip. It's slightly longer, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's from a guy he's a motivational speaker. He goes around to different churches and talks to people, and this is the topic that he focuses on, understanding why we do things and the passion and the power that comes from it. And he interacts with the audience, and this is a clip of his interaction with one of the audience members in a church that he was visiting. I want you to watch it. Go ahead and see if it'll play, Doug.
Why you have options on what your what can be. For instance, My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that has moved me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular, I'm about to show you a clip too. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country, I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, I can teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director?
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wow.
That rock is sick. You know what I'm saying?
Should give me the version as if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know the version I'm talking about, just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Do you know your why? Do you understand what makes what you're doing important? Because we all want the second version. The first version was great. He sang Amazing Grace. Great. He did a great job the first time. He was hitting all the notes, right? But there is an absolute difference between the first and the second. How many of us have experienced that right here in this church singing with the worship team? There are days where I sing the first way. Well, no, I don't. There are days that I try to sing the first way. Those that are around me know that I don't, but the intent is, right? There are other days where I'm singing the second way. The difference isn't the worship team. The difference isn't what song was selected. The difference is completely me. Some days I'm focused on why, and some days I'm not. Why do you do what you do? Aim for the center of the target. Serve God. By the way, we serve God when we go to our job every day. We serve God when we stay home and mow the lawn. We serve God when we go shop at Walmart, because God says that everything we do, right? Everything we do is part of our relationship with Him and part of our service to Him. So in everything we are serving Him, no matter where we go, we must find our passion and our why if we want to live the best lives we can live, and if we want to produce apple-sized strawberries rather than dried-up runts. All Christians, if we know God, we're going to produce some sign of fruit. The Bible's clear about that. If there's no fruit at all, I'd be a little concerned. But the quality of the fruit is about more than simply, do we know Christ? It's about how well do we know Him? And have we discovered the depths of passion in the why that we serve Him? All right, let's have the worship team come back. And I want you, as they're getting ready to sing, I want you to spend a moment meditating upon your why. Why are you doing what you do every day? How often do you get out of bed excited and passionate about your life versus how often you drag yourself out of bed just wishing you could pull the covers over your head and go back to sleep? How passionate are you? And if the answer is, I'm not as passionate as I want to be, how do you change that? You spend time meditating, praying, seeking the passion that comes from deep relationship with Christ. Know your why.